welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. And today we welcome back Leah McHugh. Leah, how are you?
I'm tired. How are you?
After a few weeks, feels like months that you haven't been on the podcast. Seller Performance Solutions welcomes you back as well while we have you. I thought we could do kind of a, maybe not a year in review, but just current trends with a look towards what we think they're going to be doing on compliance cases, on brand registry stuff, maybe even dip into the barcode situation a little bit. I've seen a lot of chatter about people having GS1 barcode issues. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll start with that. Is that just the resold barcode problem rearing its head again? We bought old used barcodes and Amazon's canceling our listings due to that?
No, most of the ones I've been seeing, they are GS1 barcodes, but the brand on the product is different from the owner of the UPC for legitimate reasons. So like a parent company owns the brand and the UPC, and then they have a brand name that they sell the product under. I'm seeing a lot more flags for incorrect GTIN because the brand name isn't the same as the name on the GS1 certificate. That should be fairly quick and easy to resolve. You just have to provide proof of the affiliation between the company that owns the barcode and the brand. It's just, you know, sometimes you have to submit it more than once for somebody to actually review it properly.
I think that's it. The chatter in some of the groups and people contacting me, asking me, I think they just didn't understand that submitting something once and having Amazon send a generic denial or rejection or just a nonsensical response
doesn't
mean that they should have done something differently their side of it. It just means that Amazon didn't look at it, right?
Yeah, and I think some people don't necessarily read the whole thing. So sometimes they'll just send in the GS1 certificate and not show the affiliation between the two companies or the two names, I guess I should say. But for the most part, at least the ones I've worked on, because the ones I'm working on have the documentation. It's just a matter of getting it actually properly reviewed by somebody.
This leads me to a quick aside. I don't want to get away from talking to you about compliance trends, but we do have to emphasize on this podcast and elsewhere, take everything Amazonians tell you with a grain of salt, because this is still an issue where people are calling account health or talking to support or saying support gave me approval for this, or account health told me I was okay doing this, or seller performance, or a paid account manager, or lots of people. Just because somebody who's an Amazon employee tells you something's okay, first of all, they might not even understand what you're asking. They might just say it's okay to get the question out of the way, but maybe they do understand it. They sometimes give you a wrong answer. So don't assume, I'm not saying, you know, you have to fact check every single little detail they give you, but fact checking is good. Getting a second opinion is good. Number one, do not assume just because it's out of the, you know, written text of an Amazonian or the mouth of an Amazonian that the information is correct, because
I still see account managers push people to do things that are definitely a violation of policies and could definitely get them suspended.
Yeah, that brings us back to one of the trends of this year, which was account managers helping people make erroneous variations.
And I'm still seeing them doing. Yeah. Or giving them just completely incorrect information about how to fix them. Because a lot of times the variations are incorrect, but they're like, no, it's not because of the variations, it's because of the title. And yes, if the title is not matching for all variations, that is also a policy violation. But it doesn't mean that you can put whatever variations you want together as long as the titles match.
That's the perfect example, I would say, in fact, because you're right. It does continue to happen. We've pointed this out to a couple of, I think I've said this before, most of our clients, the majority have paid account managers too.
Most of our clients also know to check with us before taking their advice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our monthly clients, of course, not like any client that comes to us, but we've pointed this out to a couple of account managers and they suddenly go quiet because I think they realize that they were giving advice that could have led to an account suspension. Which is interesting. I mean, do you get a refund for that month that they gave you the advice that got you suspended? No, I'm kidding about that. But it's alarming that you can't just believe it. You have to double check it. This is not just account managers at Amazon, not to give them a hard time. There are different agencies and services out there that have no compliance understanding, that have no compliance background, that make promises or give guidance that has a heavy compliance component as part of it or implied in it. And I guess they're just winging it, or they're just hoping for the best. I'm not sure.
Well, I think in both instances, they're very much incentivized to grow your account and aren't necessarily as incentivized to practice risk avoidance.
Right.
So I don't think it's an intentional thing to get people in trouble or even intentionally break the rules. I think that's just not the focus of what they do. The focus is growing the account, which unfortunately can also get people in trouble if they do it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the inconsistency of enforcement is also, I think, getting worse, because we've heard from people, and maybe Amazon is still a land of you know who you know and you don't know who you don't know, but some people are getting away with stuff that others don't, right? Because they
make a connection. I honestly don't think that's ever going to change. I think it's just such a large and unwieldy marketplace at this point. Unfortunately, I think that's always going to, I don't know. I have this conversation every single day with sellers.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up. But that brings the point. The reason I mention that is not because if you know somebody at the company who can help you pass through a problem that others struggle with, that's fine. Maybe that's not the worst thing when you've improved what you broke. Or what you violated, it's not terrible to be given a second chance. The appeals process is part of that whole process of being granted another opportunity once you realize your wrongdoing. But it begs the question, what about everyone else? Are they not allowed a second chance just because they don't know the ins and outs of who can tap who on the shoulder, who can get your appeal to the right person? It's different from like escalation emails. That's not even really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like, do you really want to have haves and have nots just based on, you know, who went to a conference and happened to bump into somebody at Amazon that cut a ticket for them internally. I mean, there's got to be a way of widening that opportunity.
I mean, I agree that that's messed up, but I also don't think that that is a new thing.
And maybe it won't change. I know it's not new and maybe it won't change, but I just think this conversation, this episode, you know, deals with what could be different or should be different next year, because we've seen...
I mean,
we've seen a lot go wrong this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I have seen a lot of, particularly on product compliance, listing violations. Yeah, Amazon correctly flagged those accounts on most of the ones that I worked on.
Right.
But for product compliance, I have seen so very many incorrectly flagged products, incorrectly flagged accounts. And then not only that, but then just like a complete failure to properly review the information submitted showing them that the product is completely compliant. Right. Like the majority of the cases that I have worked on this year, the seller was not at fault in the product compliance side of things. It was just Amazon flagged it incorrectly and then just completely failed to review the appeal.
Just complete wrong information. You showed me a few examples. And weren't they sometimes saying, no, you don't know the FDA regulations. And it was just that they didn't know them.
Well, I've had phone calls with people on the compliance team where I was explaining to them what a structure function claim was, which is a fairly basic part of FDA regulations around supplements. And this is a person that was chosen to have this conversation about a suspended supplement product. So it is not improving in Georgia.
And I think I'm still assessing. I think Amazon's response to we keep having humans making mistakes, basic or otherwise, for some reason their response is we need to take the human out of the equation and put in some automation. Fix it by removing the human hand instead of like improving the competence of the human who's helping the seller. They're going to layer in some automation.
And I've also seen that where the human actually does know what they're doing and agrees that it's incorrect, but they are essentially tied to whatever their tools will allow them to do.
Right.
They want to override it and they want to get it properly reviewed, but it's like, you know, their computer says no. And they can't do anything else from there. So I do think it is a combination of fully automating some things and then essentially making even stricter decision trees so they can have less qualified staff who then have no, there's no room for any gray area there. Like there's no okay, well, we got this wrong, so therefore this right. needs to happen. That doesn't work in that ecosystem. And so that's why I've had to escalate so many things this year.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've read a couple of books over the years about like the tyranny of bureaucracy and how you become a prisoner of your own bureaucracy in an organization similar to this. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting because Amazon's clearly trying to reduce headcount and encourage many people to leave. I mean, one of their execs talking about the 5-day work week that's becoming mandatory for everyone in January was essentially saying, you know, if you don't like it, there's the door. I mean, that's a company that's encouraging people to go.
Yeah, because it's cheaper than laying them off.
Right. And whether or not the cynical, like, yeah, they don't want to admit that these are layoffs, they want to do it this way. Either way, you would think that would encourage them to have less strict decision trees or fewer points of contact on a particular case. You would think they'd be looking to simplify stuff to like one or two.
Well, I think they think they are simplifying it because I think they're thinking if the tools dictate what somebody can do, then that person doesn't need to have any sort of qualification.
Right.
So we can hire the cheapest possible labor to just click yes or no, yes or no, yes or no, and then that will save us money.
Okay.
Is my theory.
I hope that works out.
Well, yeah, so far it is not. At least
at the outset,
on the side of things that I'm working on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and then maybe save this for another episode. I'm getting asked more and more when it comes to the appeals process, obviously lots of breakdowns, lots of bad communication. Are they just going to start asking people for certain types of appeals? AI reads the appeal, decides whether or not it makes it to the next rung of the ladder. And maybe it'll be a good decision, maybe a bad one, but it'll reduce the number of appeals that humans, whether they're in the US or in India or anywhere else, need to read. I mean, I think they're already kind of doing that, but will there be like, that becomes the first two rungs of the ladder. Your appeal has to go through two layers of automation or AI and scrutiny. Just, I assume it's just keyword searches. I mean, what else would, I don't know enough about AI processing tools. I could learn that in the new year, but eventually they're going to find ways to identify. I mean, my particular theory, and we've talked about templates before, they're going to figure out if it's a template that's been sent before with just slight modifications and they're going
to
chuck it.
Well, so when I went to university, however many years ago, there's already software that could do that. So mm-hmm. we're not,
it's like,
you know. That's not.
It's like CV or resume reading software.
That's already there.
But
I don't think they're actually using that, to be honest. But
no, but tailored to this. I know that that exists for like reading resumes and CVs, but
for assignments. We had to run our assignments through software to make sure that none of the content had been plagiarized from published sources or from other students.
Yeah. So the reaction will be, of course, the template mill, quote unquote, services will just move enough paragraphs around to try to evade that. But that's not going to work very long either.
I mean, are there that many template mills left? These, I thought they'd all kind of gone.
There's plenty of them. Oh, I see them. People email us these copy and paste. I think it's now widely understood that that has a low percentage chance of even being read, let alone accepted. But word travels slowly for certain things in the Amazon space.
That's true. I still see people submitting a plan of action even when Amazon has not asked them for a plan of action.
So. I was just about to say that. I just did a long interview yesterday with Vincenzo Toscano about that for his podcast. People are still sending in a POA when, number one, it hasn't been asked for. Number two, a POA necessitates admitting to things, confessing to things, taking responsibility.
And that's actually hurting your case.
and in a lot of cases, it's a dispute. It's supposed to be a dispute. Amazon says we'll only take a dispute. Mm-hmm. Stop sending a POA, and they keep sending POAs. I assume it's because they found them online or they talked to a quote unquote expert who only sells POAs. And that's why that keeps happening. But eventually, I guess next year, sometime in 2025, that will die out.
I think in some cases, they are guilty of whatever Amazon has accused them of. So there isn't really, like, how would they dispute it?
if you
I think they just default to a plan of action in the hopes that that will work because they don't have a legitimate way of disputing it.
Well, and that's, again, the story for another time in terms of why doesn't Amazon say, maybe we can close on this point. Why don't they just tell you, look, if you're guilty of this, you're not eligible for reinstatement, so don't appeal.
Well, they do say that.
They don't. I talked to... They don't say that enough.
It's dispute as well. The messaging says dispute only.
It says dispute only, but I talked to a couple people at Amazon 2 weeks ago, and they said, I said, you know, one favor, if these people who are contacting us in droves have no chance, they always ask us their odds, what's the percentage of success? Can you just tell them, focus on getting your money back, appeal for that, disbursement appeals, focus on that, focus on getting your inventory out, stop appealing because we're not going to take it and we're not going to reinstate you. All we're going to do is send you message after message that says you haven't provided sufficient information. That's like the worst thing that I'm seeing right now. They keep telling people no and denying them by acting like you can submit more and better information when in reality, secretly behind the scenes, they've decided already amongst themselves, you're not even eligible to come back on. And I'm like, I'm going to do this again. I made a very brief mention of it on a call 2 weeks ago that was about something else. But in 2025, I'm going to make this like a cornerstone of my begging Amazon, please, if this is like you've decided that the door is shut, stop telling people to appeal. You're making more work for yourselves, which means you're cutting down on the amount of time you spend reading appeals for people who are potentially getting reinstated, who are eligible. So it's worse for you. It's worse for the sellers. It's worse for everyone.
Yep.
That's my closing rant. Do you have any closing comments on the compliance side? For, I know it's an evolution. I understand you can't predict. This is not a prediction podcast, but
my prediction is that it's going to get stricter and they're going to get worse at reviewing it.
I mean,
which I hate to be the one to say that, but it's trending down. It's not trending up.
Well, on the compliance side, the big news from 2024 was the increase in people who were suspended for code of conduct violations because they were editing or manipulating or faking compliance documentation because they didn't have it, right? Wasn't that kind of one of the top stories in your neck of the woods this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly that they didn't, I mean, the ones I worked on, they didn't know that it was being faked. They had been given fake documentation from their manufacturer.
Okay.
But there are changes to regulations for cosmetics in the United States, and I think we're going to start seeing a lot more enforcement around that because I think all of these government agencies are sort of on Amazon's back. But I'm also seeing a lot more where the FDA says something is fine, and then Amazon says, well, no, this isn't meeting FDA's requirements. And even providing information from the FDA specifically about that product, there's still pushback. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
Fantastic. Everyone's pumped up and ready for 2025. As we sit here, it's 2024 November. We're going to publish this next month in December, but wanted to catch up with you today. Always a pleasure. And I'm sure this will generate lots of wonderful heat and questions from people who are dealing with this right now.
Yep.
Because of
sorry, I don't proximity. Have better news.
I know. Because
or
we're
better
sitting
predictions.
We're sitting in Cyber Five right now, times right now. Hopefully you're not dealing with these issues at the moment. But if this crops up in December or you're afraid of what might be coming in January, let us know. And as always, when I say let us know, if it's compliance related, I'm really saying let Leah know. She'd be happy to help you.
Yep.
All right. Take care. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.